From concrete to roofing to siding and windows, J&K Contracting has you covered from the ground up. Whether it's a room addition, a complete home build, or your commercial projects, let the professionals at J&K be of service from groundbreaking to completion. And don't forget, they accept all major credit cards. They even have free seamless gutters with every complete roof installation. Don't hesitate to call J&K Contracting at 740-698-3521 for a free estimate.
It's time for the latest local, regional, and national sports topics of the day. It's The Sports Fan, presented by J&K Contracting.
Ready? Break!
Now, from the WATH studios, here's Carl Blaylock.
Hi, hello, 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 and a massive, busy, busy day in sports news. It's draft day, and more importantly, locally, the OHSAA has released their divisional breakdown for football, and there's a lot of changes. Let's look at the changes key to Southeastern Ohio. This is from, I posted this on Facebook around 3 o'clock once this came out. Division 3, Region 11, there's no change for TVC teams, but Warren, Sheridan, Bishop Hartley, and Steubenville all move up from Division 4. That's big. I mean, that's right there. That's three out of the four final four teams, regional semifinal teams from Division 4, Region 15. We'll talk about that more in a minute. In Division 4, Region 15, River Valley moves up from Division 5. In Division 5, Region 19, here's one of the bigger ones. Nelsonville York moves up from Division 6. They move up through enrollment. Also coming up will be Crooksville, Oak Hill, and Oak Hill, Coal Grove, and Morgan will move down from Division 4. In Division 6, Region 23, Waterford and Eastern move up from Division 7 due to competitive balance numbers. And then Division 7, Region 27, Trimble will move down from Division 6. Also moving down from Division 6 down to Division 7 will be Newark Catholic. So, a lot to talk about. Cedric Granger's with me here in the studio. And let's start with Division 3, Region 11. We called it last year all throughout our stuff on, you know, throughout everything with Football Friday kickoff, Football Friday night. I mean, we called that the region of death. I mean, there were about 10, 11 really good teams out of that region last year. And you lose a few of them. They restructured everything. So basically what happens is instead of shooting out to the west and the north like what it did last year where you grabbed like Bell Fountain, London, instead they're moved into the Cincinnati region and we scoot more far east. And so now you have Steubenville, you have Dover as well. There's quite a few teams that move in there. Let's just go through the teams that are now in Division 3, Region 11. Athens is in there. Beechcroft up in Columbus along with Bexley. Bishop Hartley was one of the teams that moved up. Bishop Watterson was already in there last year. Bloom Carroll in there still. Buckeye Valley, they were in there last year up in Delaware. Carrollton is one of the teams that move up. They're one of the teams up in that, I don't even know what you call that really, that region of Ohio, but like the East Central Ohio, I guess. Centennial in Columbus is still there. Dover is there. They move over, though. They were in, they moved from the Cleveland region down into the Southeastern Ohio region. Eastmore Academy moves up from 4-3 in Columbus. Granville's still there. Hamilton Township still there. You have Columbus Independence moving down, along with Columbus South, or Columbus West, excuse me. So you got a few more City League schools now in the region. Indian Creek up in Wintersville, that they move up. Jackson still in there. John Glenn still in there. Looking Valley moves up from Division 4 up to Division 3. Lyndon McKinley's still there. Marietta's still there. New Philly moves from division from the Cleveland region into the southeastern Ohio region. Sheridan moves back up in Division III. Columbus South is still there. Steubenville, that's one of the bigger ones. Steubenville moving up from Division IV up to Division III. Tri-Valley's still in there. Warren moves up from Division IV to Division III. Columbus West and Zanesville. So that's a murderer's row. And I was sitting there, and I think I talked about this on Facebook in the 740 Sports group that Troy Boland has. Quite literally, I mean, this is a team, this is a murderer's row. Athens might have the best season they've had since Joe Burrow, the best season they've had in about 10 years, and they might end up being a 12-13 seed having to go up to Dover 2.5-3 hours away. I mean, this is a murderer's row. I mean, you have so many very, very good teams. I mean, Granville's still good. Jackson, obviously, is very good. You have
also just powerhouse teams that have had years in the past where they have also peaked up high. So let's take a look first. A team called, like, Zanesville. They were actually in Division II, made it to the state Final Four, I believe, in 2013. And they beat my home city of New Albany, which was really insane.
And, well, not only that, but remember, they got good juju because that's where T.J. Carper went. Mm-hmm. They got one of probably the better coaches down here in southeastern Ohio. He's now up in Zanesville. They're going to be rebuilding that. They're going to be a team to keep an eye on.
Beat Steubenville. Of course, one of my favorite Athens stories is their matchup against Steubenville, where Joe Burrow and the Bulldogs went into Steubenville, took down the Big Red in emphatic fashion, where the offense was firing on all cylinders. And now you bring in another team like that. You don't even have to tell me what about Bishop Hartley. I know about that team as well, being a St. Charles graduate. So again, it just becomes even more brutal. And like you mentioned, despite if the Bulldogs go 9-1, go 10-0, go 8-2, you're going to end up probably playing a road game in the first round. Which
absolutely.
Is crazy.
I mean, we're going to see the same thing we saw with Benton County. I mean, you look at Athens last year, what, they were about 6-4.
Six and four, and they ended up
the 14 seed, which, I mean, made sense. I mean, you look at it, I mean, they don't play that many high schools, and they do benefit from a few teams moving up, with Nelsonville York moving up to Division 5, that's big. Warren moving up to Division 3, that's big, but you lose Division 2 Logan, so that really equals out there. You know, they're not going to be getting too many computer points from a lot of these teams that they're going to end up playing. And you're going to be looking at, when you're looking at Hartley, you're looking at Watterson, you're looking at Bloom Carroll, you know, there's going to be about eight teams. I mean, we might see one of these teams end up having to go on the road in the beginning of the year, because you've got perennial powerhouses everywhere you look in this region. And this is a scary, scary region.
Yeah, it's just tough. There are going to be some really great teams year in and year out who are not going to get home playoff games in the first round and are going to just be, again, it'll be fun for people who are watching it from the outside. And if you love good football, this is going to be a great football division. However, for the individual teams that are stuck in this area, it's not going to be fun having to duke it out. It's going to be a murderous row. And if you can get out of this region, you know you're going to be a team that can't be messed with. But yeah, it certainly adds more to it. Even some of the City League teams, the influx of those squads being in there as well. I know Eastmore very, very well. A couple other Columbus schools that I played against a lot when I was in high school. Same with Independence as well, too. So again, with the City League schools, it's almost a rotation of which team tends to be the best each year. You have a lot of parity within the City League. So that also could cause a challenge for one of the Bulldogs or any other team that could be competing for it. So again, it won't be any easier for the Bulldogs at all. They'll at least retain Marietta. So again, that's another team that's in
another D3 team. Yep,
that you'll be able to retain on the schedule. Like I said, though, that loss of Logan and not being able to play them at least for another couple of seasons is really going to hurt in terms of computer points. Especially given the fact that the Bulldogs, in my opinion, have a pretty good chance of being able to win against Logan. I think I'd give them the nod over Logan, at least on paper right now, going into the next year if they were to play. So again, just a tough break in that way, especially for the Bulldogs.
Let's move to Division 4, Region 15, and we'll just go through the region again. East Liverpool Beaver moves in from, they were in the Cleveland region, they moved down into the southeastern Ohio region. Bishop Reedy, Cambridge, Canton South also moving in from Cleveland. That's something I noticed this year, is there's a lot more, instead of Columbus, we're getting a lot more Columbus and West schools, we're getting a lot more Canton schools this year in the way the OHSAA drew these regions up. And at first I was sitting there a little bit confused with it, but when you look at the map and you look at all the teams, it's not like there's any teams. There's a few that you're sitting there and going like, wow, like Utica's in the Toledo region.
I think that's in Division Four. They're in the Toledo region. But you look at the map and it makes sense because you got a lot of those like Central Ohio schools that you kind of just don't know where to put.
It is. You can kind of mix and match where they put them because it's like when you're in Columbus, you're at least a decent driving distance to pretty much everywhere in the state.
But, I mean, as far as Division 4, Region 15 down here, there's not too many schools. Circleville is in there. Columbus East. Circleville moved down from Division 3 last year. You have Richmond Edison moves in. They were in the Cleveland District last year in Division 5. Fairfield Union's still there. Galley Academy. Heath moves up. Heath moves up from Division 5, Region 15, up into Division 4, Region 15. Highland Marengo.
Yeah, Marengo, Ohio.
I don't know where that is.
I knew it. That's not too far away from Columbus. It's actually north of Columbus.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. Kind of close to that area.
Indian Valley, still in Division 4, Region 15. They might be the favorite looking at this. I mean, obviously, I'm not sure about some of these Columbus schools. Canton South, I think, is solid. But, I mean, you're looking at, you look at it and, you know, they were one of the Final Four last year, and they could easily find themselves again. Jonathan Alder's still in Division 4, Region 15. Lakewood, Hebron, Logan Elm, Marion Franklin, Maysville, Minerva moves down. They move down from Canton down into Region 15. New Lexington moves up from Division 5 up to Division 4. Philo moves. Philo's still in Division 4. River Valley moves up through competitive balance. They move up into Division 4, Region 15. St. Clairsville is in Division 4, Region 15. Unioto moves over from the Cincinnati region. They're now in Division 4, Region 15. Vinton County also still in there. Waverly as well also moves over from the Cincinnati region into the Southeastern Ohio region. West Holmes, and all moving up is Westfall as well. They move up from Division 5, Region 20, and they move over from the Cincinnati district into Southeastern Ohio, or region, I should say, into the Southeastern Ohio region. And so this is really interesting. I think number one is there's really not very many teams. They're either down by the river or you're up going up towards Canton with this region. I mean, I think Vinton County, River Valley are two of the schools that are really in the middle. There's really nobody in the middle. It's going to make it really interesting when we get into playoff time. We're going to see a lot of long drives out of this region. But you look at it, I think that Indian Valley, Bishop Reedy, St. Clairsville can still make some noise. I'm interested to see what Unioto can do in this region as well. But it's a tough one as far as we go to Southeastern Ohio schools outside of Unioto, really. I don't really see a path for very well. This is a very tough region.
Yeah, especially, too, with Vinton County. They're not going to be the same team come next year with a lot of different graduations that happen. You do have some teams that maybe will be able to compete if we go a little bit farther to your mid-state Buckeye League. I think some of those teams might have some chances to make a little bit of noise as well. Logan Elm, great season last year. But again, it doesn't get easier. And the travel, too. If you have a first-round playoff travel, if you're going an hour or 2 hours away, it's really tough to try to come away with a win, too.
It certainly is. Moving to Division 5, Region 19. And this one got even tougher. I mean, this was another one that was really tough, and it really got tougher. Afrocentric, they are still in Division 5, Region 19. Alexander, Amanda Clear Creek, Barnesville still in there. Columbus Academy. Crooksville moves up from Division 6 up to Division 5 through competitive balance. Colgrove moves up through enrollment up to Division 5, Region 19. Fairland's there. Harvest Prep is there. Ironton still there. Kip Columbus moves down. Meadowbrook's there, Meigs, Minford, Morgan moves down from Division 4 down to Division 5, Nelsonville York moves up, Northwest McDermott moves up, Northwest McDermott's still in there from Division 5, Region 19. They're joined by another one of their SOC compatriots in Oak Hill. They move up to 519, Piketon still in 519, Portsmouth, South Point, Union Local, Wellston, West Muskingum, Wheelersburg, Worthington Christian, and Zane Trace moves over from the Cincinnati region. It got tougher. Yep. It really got tougher. I mean, especially for the Buckeyes in Nelsonville, York, that's going to be a tough draw when you look at a lot of these schools. I think they'll still make the playoffs, but, I mean, Barnesville's still going to be very solid. Now you got to go up against Ironton. You got to go up against Harvest Prep.
Fairland's
still
tough.
Very solid.
We saw what happened when teams have had to go to Fairland last year. That's not an easy place to play.
Not to mention Wheelersburg.
Yep. My goodness. So, yeah, it's not going to get any easier. Also, one question. I keep hearing the competitive balance thing. Is it just straightforward that if your team has been good the past year, what is
No, so
that?
Competitive balance is where it takes how many players you take from out of district. And so however many players you take out of district is how many players you – it's a bonus. So they count twice.
Interesting.
So you count them in your normal enrollment, and then you also count them again – through competitive balance. And so that's what competitive balance means. Enrollment just means, you know, based off of wherever the cutoff is, that's how many people you have.
Yeah, how many boys are.
You know, how many boys, how many girls you have, in this case, boys, wherever you have them. This one now, with competitive balance, it's, you know, you double count. And this is where you have the issues where you have schools, the private schools that don't technically have districts. They can get away with some things with it. You know, it's where you have the cry with Ironton about, you know, they're not in district. Oh, yeah, they are. Well, they're in apartment buildings or whatever. You know, whatever the case may be, you know, there they are. You know, they're in district. And so that's going to be something that's going to be really interesting when we look at, you know, Crooksville, for example. It's not really competitive balance when it comes to where it is, and I think I was talking about somebody with this when it comes to Marion Local, because Marion Local is still in Division 7, and everyone's like, oh, they're so good, what about competitive balance and stuff? That's not what competitive balance is. Mm-hmm. Competitive balance is to try to limit transfers and people who are coming in out of district. With Marion Local, there's so many school districts down there, and this is the same way it is where I was from up in Northwest Ohio in Williams County, is there's so many school districts that a lot of these overlap. And so you have a few different places where, depending on your address, you can sit there and you can choose, you know, do I want to go to New Bremen or do I want to go to Marion Local? And so if you're good at football, you're going to go to Marion Local. And so that's where, you know, Marion Local doesn't have that, even though it says competitive balance. It's more just with the transfers, who's out of district, who's not, and that's how they combat those numbers.
Interesting. Yeah, because I see that phrase kind of thrown around. It'd be better just to make sure it's specified and see what people mean. Because I feel like I'd have that misnomer, too, about, oh, this team has been really good the last couple of years. Competitive balance. They want to make sure it's like an equal amount of talent or how well that this team has been over the years. So it's nice to get that defined.
So looking at Division 5, I mean, that's going to be tough, though. I think there'll be some really good games. It definitely stays very strong. I mean, it's tough for Nelsonville York to move up there. It's tough for Oak Hill to move up there, especially. I know there's been a lot of drama. I'm not sure if you've seen, and I'm not sure how much of it is confirmed. I'm not sure how much of it is SEO Prep's hearsay, but I do know that Oak Hill, apparently their board, they got offered to the Tri-Valley Conference, and then their Board of Education denied it. It sounds like Kratzenberg's out there as well. And so, you know, that this is just another blow to that, having to move up to Division 5 now, where Oak Hill's not going to make the playoffs. I mean, it's going to be tough to make the playoffs when you're looking at, all right, you got, you know, you have so many of these good players, you know, good teams in there, plus you add a few more good ones, and you've got Nelsonville York up there now. Colgrove is still pretty decent, and Crooksville's on the rise. That's going to be tough for you to find any space to grab there, especially when you look at what Oak Hill is struggling with.
It's a tough location, yeah, too, given that if you're really good at sports, you're going to probably go to Jackson.
We talked about overlapping school districts,
yep,
right
that's
there.
That's a big one. Wellston and Jackson, like, it's like the whole Wellston, Oak Hill, Jackson, whole area. It makes it very tricky to be able to build up your football team if you're Oak Hill. So that's, again, just a really tough spot that they're in. I think if they would have taken an invite to the TVC, I think they would have fit in pretty well in this conference, honestly.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen, and so now we're going to have to see what ends up happening with Oak Hill.
You would have had natural rivalries, too.
Well, you would have had natural rivalries, but that's why I think it
size fits, dude.
We'll have a conversation about that at some point, whether or not it was a good move or not. But, I think it would have made – I mean, they were kind of in no man's land there because you're stuck against the big boys of the SOC. You know, you're having to play Wheelersburg. You're having to play Waverly. You're having to play Portsmouth West every year. And that's not great for you. I think they would have been more competitive in the TVC. But I don't know how they would have fit in other sports. I know for football, it would have been a good move for them, but I'm not sure about other sports. But now they've just gone and made everybody mad in the whole situation with it. Moving down to Division 6, Region 23, which really loses a lot of their big hitters from last year. No longer, Bel Air moved up to Division 5. They're up in the Cleveland region with that one. There's a lot. I mean, Nelsonville York obviously moved up along with Colgrove, and Newark Catholic moved down. So it's interesting to see this region. It's completely different. Belpre still in the region. So is Burn Union, Bishop Rosecrans. Both of them move up. Burn Union through enrollment, Rosecrans through competitive balance. Buckeye Trail, Bucyrus is still in there. Caldwell moves up from up to Division 6 through enrollment. Cardington Lincoln, Centerburg moves down. Colonel Crawford now in Region 23. It's extending a lot more. Crawford moving over from the Northwest region now down in the Southeast region, because what this region looks like now is it reaches all the way. You know, it already kind of reached up there a little bit to the north now instead of reaching up to the north and to the Northwest. It's stretching more Northwest. Eastern Reidsville is up into Division 6 through competitive balance. Elgin, Fairbanks, Fort Fry is still there, Grandview Heights, Grove City Christian, Liberty Union moves down into Division 6. Mechanicsburg moves up from Division 7, Region 28, up to Division 6, Region 23. They've got some pretty solid teams. Monroe Central moves up from Division 7 up to Division 6. Mount Gilead, Division 6. Newcomerstown, Northmore. Ridgewood, West Lafayette Ridgewood, goes from Division 5, Region 17, down to the Southeast region down here in Division 6. Shenandoah, Triad, they move over from the Cincinnati district. Waterford moves up through competitive balance. West Jefferson, and then Winford Bucyrus also moves in from the Northwest region. So looking at that, it's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see, obviously, Eastern I still think is going to be pretty good with Jason Jackson at the helm, but I'm interested to see where Fort Fry and Mechanicsburg really fit here with this. And I feel like it's Fort Fry, Mechanicsburg, West Jeff, maybe Eastern, and I've heard good things about Ridgewood as well. So it's interesting. It's certainly a very very interesting region now. Yeah. Completely different than what it was last year.
And it's a power grab situation where it's like, hey, you know what? This is a chance where a lot of the other divisions, they seem like they got tougher. This is one where it's a lot of new blood and you get to be able to stake. I also say don't sleep on a team like Waterford too, just with the way and how good they've been at football over the last decade or two. So again, this is one where when you have a new region like this, you're made up of a lot of different teams. Some teams that were actually rivals within one division and now move up together in the same division up to Division 6, of course, Eastern Waterford, but also Caldwell, one of the teams that did beat Eastern last year as well. Again, it's something that is pretty interesting and could have a chance for some new teams to take over and make some noise, especially here in D6.
It will be interesting, and there's a big gap there. And I think Eastern and Waterford, they definitely could make some noise, but I'm just intrigued. I'm really intrigued to see what Caldwell can do. Caldwell moving up, that could be really big for them, especially with looking at the rest of the region. I mean, Caldwell-Fort Fry, that was a heck of a game last year, and they played in the regular season. That'd be really fun to see them play in the playoffs. And moving to Division 7, Region 27, teams in there, Bealsville, Bridgeport, moving down from the Cleveland Regional down to Central, down to the Southeastern will be Central Catholic Steubenville. Also moving down, Cajon Valley, Danville also moves down into Region 27. Eastern Beavers still there, Fairfield Christian Academy. Federal Hawking's back on the list. That's great to see.
Yeah.
They're in Division 7. Fisher Catholic, Frontier, Franklin Furnace Green, Loudonville comes down from Division 6 down to Division 7. Remember them from Nelsonville, York a few years ago. Miller still in there. Miller's Port, the big one, Newark Catholic. They trimmed their enrollment down again. They're down through enrollment because they went from about having 60, 70 kids down to 50 kids again. So Newark Catholic's down through enrollment. They're down in Division 7. Portsmouth Notre Dame still there. Ridgedale Morale, they're in there. They move in for the Cincinnati Regional. Rivers there. Scioto-ville East still there. Shadyside still there. South Gallia, Southern, Strasburg, Franklin, Sims Valley. Trimble moves down from Division 6 down to Division 7. And Tuscarora Central Catholic, they are in Division 7. They move down from the Northeast Regional. So, I mean, you look at this, for Trimble, outside of, I would say, Danville's going to be tough, Newark Catholic is going to be tough, but outside of that, this is a pretty good region for Trimble.
Yeah, I think so as well, too. It's kind of interesting seeing this return, because my memory serves me right, those teams were all in Division 7 as well, at least Newark Catholic was, right?
Newark Catholic was in Division 7, Trimble was in Division 7 2 years ago, yeah.
Yep.
Trimble goes up and then back down.
Yeah, they both kind of had that experience as well. It's kind of like a wave, a green wave, I shall say. But you move back.
Well, the difference is Trimble just has small classes. Newark Catholic can manipulate there.
Yeah,
so
they definitely are. They had a rough year too as well. One of their worst years in quite some
that,
time.
That is
well.
True, and that might be something that will help them. But Danville moving down as well. They're a very, very solid team. Up originally, I think they were up in the Cleveland, up in the Northeast Regional. So Danville's going to be a tough out. I'm really interested to see what Eastern Beaver can do. You know, they're still building their program, but obviously the very solid season last year, you know, how can they build off of that? Loudonville could be decent, and we could see a few other interesting teams as well. But Rivers still going to be there, and Rivers still always solid. So I'm interested to see what ends up happening there. This is going to be a real interesting year in Division 7. I think it's kind of wide open. If Newark Catholic can't get their wheels spinning, this could be something where Trimble can make a run.
Yeah,
unfortunately, you know, Marion Local still in Division 7, so we know who's going to win the state championship for them. Maybe it'll be some other MAC school, but the last time I can remember when Marion Local was in the league, I mean, there's only been one time that Marion Local has not won a state title when they've been in Division 7 out of the recent memory, and that only time that they didn't, they played their conference rival and lost New Bremen, and they won the state title.
Yeah, so in other words, it's very unlikely.
Yeah, Northwest Ohio runs Division 7 football.
But at least you want to make some noise, and at least you have a chance in your own region.
You certainly do. They certainly do. The Tomcats do. And so it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening with that. And obviously, we'll keep you covered all throughout the year, especially once we get into the fall with Football Friday, kickoff Football Friday night. And I'm excited to be able to call some football games again. It's
I'm gonna miss it. I'm gonna have to return. I'm gonna have to come back at least for one of these weeks to have fun. Especially gotta go see Athens.
Oh yeah. Too.
And I hope again they have a really great seed. I think again it does put pressure on the team though. If they can get to like 10-0, if you can get to a good record like that, that might give you a home playoff game.
Maybe.
But it's a shame that
it's gonna be
like,
tough though.
Yeah, it's like just because of the conference that you're in and the area that you're in right now and the lack of other, there's not a lot of D3s around here or other teams to kind of boost that. It's tough. It is. And they already have a lot of their plans made for who they're scheduling for the next couple of seasons, too. So you can't really build it up through those means either.
No. But we'll see what ends up happening with them. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to look at the top five in the draft. What do we think they'll do? It'll be interesting to see. Is that draft's only, an hour and a half away? We'll talk about it after the break here on The Sports Fan, presented by JNK Contracting.
Why do so many dogs suffer from weight issues, skin problems, messy poops, and low energy? It could be the popular dog food you put in their bowl each day.
Cody was sleeping a lot, wasn't playing.
She was very lethargic and not moving around.
Dry kibble just wasn't cutting it.
That's why, after more than 45 years of experience of helping dogs make complete health turnarounds, veterinarian Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend. It's a freeze-dried raw dog food made with wholesome ingredients like premium meats, seeds, vegetables, and fruit. And once dog parents switch their pups to Nature's Blend, the results can be astounding.
She's got her energy back. She's running around like she did like 5 years ago.
Miraculously, she's just feeling all around better. She's like a new dog. Thank you, Dr. Marty.
Get your dog started today and save up to 54% off Nature's Blend. Plus, receive a free pack of our best-selling beef liver dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/good or text good to 511-511. Text good to 511-511. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
We're recording this progressive commercial on a real boat to let people know that when you bundle your home, boat, and other vehicles...
What was that, boat?
Progressive saves you money, Jamie!
Why are we doing this on a boat?
We were going for authenticity!
We're going to the city?
Authenticity!
You mean Atlantic City? But we're not in the Atlantic! Are we?
Bundle your home and other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Ohio Health presents the 12th annual Race for a Reason on April 26th and 27th, the largest multi-race charity-based fundraising event in Southeast Ohio. Get dirty in the OURTC Mud Run presented by Ohio Army National Guard. Participate as an individual or put together a 5-person team and tackle the challenging course together. For more information and to register, go to OhioRaceForAReason.org. The Ohio Health Race for a Reason. What's your reason?
Back on the Sports Fan, and it's draft day. Do you have any draft day things? Do you ever watch the Kevin Costner movie or no? I've never watched it, truthfully.
No, I have not either. I know, I've watched parts of it. There's always iconic pieces of draft day that always will come up during different things. And then, yeah, there's a lot of movies that do center around the draft. But yeah, for me, I feel like a lot of people are higher on the draft than I am. I really enjoy it, but it's also like, especially because the Ravens, this is my favorite team, they do a great job of mastering it. But the speculation before it maybe doesn't entice me as much as some other things. Like, I don't know why I love the schedule reveal is my favorite NFL offseason event. Oh, yeah. Because that's when you can decide about which games you're going to go to catch your team. But it is exciting, especially when the draft day actually hits and you're like, okay, now we're here. I'm always super intrigued with it. So I think this is going to be pretty exciting tonight. And I'm really excited for how the quarterbacks are going to fall here, too. That's the biggest question. And the trades. There are a lot of players right now that are on trade block. And you've seen teams in the past. I mean, of course, I remember my Ravens trading away Hollywood Brown for a first-round pick. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see some really talented players.
The 49ers are looking to trade in with one of their wide receivers. Yep. Well, I've also seen Deebo Samuel.
Wow.
Because I was sitting there, I was talking with Kate Williamson, one of our colleagues, and he, a big 49ers fan, and he was sitting there. I was telling him, I don't think Ayuk's worth a first-round pick, but Deebo Samuel certainly is. That'd be a bargain, truthfully.
I don't know. With the way that the wide receiver market, it's tough because with Ayuk, you have to pay him. Remember that, too. You have to pay him his contract and acquire him by giving away draft capital. So it's a tough move. You have to really feel like you're maybe just one piece away and just need your guy if you are the team that does that trade. Also, obviously, the Bengals, 2 players that have requested trades recently, T. Higgins, Trey Hendrickson. I don't know if the Bengals will do that and will accept their trade or say that they should accept their request to be traded. However, I would not be surprised. Be on the lookout for the possibility of one of them maybe being on the trade block and the Bengals going up to get somebody.
Absolutely. Let's pick through the top five. I mean, we're not going to be able to make through a mock draft. We barely made that through last year. Ethan, we were making it through the skin of our teeth at the very end. We're not going to make it in only 20
minutes. Be fair to y'all, though, that was a great episode.
Oh, yeah. that was a great one. We had a ton of fun with it. But I think we both agree that Caleb Williams is going to go 1-1.
Yeah, I agree, too. I think it's a slam dunk pick. If the Bears did not trade Justin Fields, then maybe it would have been cool to see what trade would have happened. But
well, they still have the ninth pick, too.
Yeah,
they still have the ninth pick. And they've been talking about how they might trade down out of that. I think it depends on where the wide receivers go, but that's going to be very interesting. And
it's
also
interesting if they go wide receiver, too, because it's like, look at the receiving core that they've already built for themselves at this point. So it's like, at this point, when you got guys like, you know, Keenan Allen, you've got DJ Moore already sealed in, why not get some extra protection or some extra help for Caleb and get a good offensive lineman? You could pick one of the best tackles in the draft. I think that would be an even smarter decision by the Bears. And you could trade down as a result of that for somebody that's really wide receiver needy and maybe be able to luck at. Like, I think the Bears have the chance to really crush this draft, and this is going to define them for the next five seasons.
It is. It really is. And if you want to know how crazy it could be after the Caleb Williams pick, I mean, you look at the rest of everyone else, and the average pick is all over the place. Caleb Williams, 1-1. Next, Drake May, 3.4. And nobody knows what's going to happen after that.
It's either Jaden Daniels, Drake May. It's like you take your pick of which
quarterback. A lot of people are out on Jaden Daniels. I think we could... I don't know. I mean, I think it really depends how desperate are the Patriots for a quarterback. I've seen a lot more mock drafts where they're starting to have these quarterbacks go more and more. I've seen one where I saw Michael Penix going 13 at the Raiders.
Yep, I've seen J.J. McCarthy going up as like high as 2 or 3, which is crazy.
I've seen one with J.J. McCarthy going to the Chargers or the Giants. I mean,
yeah, J.J. McCarthy to the Chargers doesn't. It's like that would be one that would be wild. It'd be a crazy if Herbert gets traded today or something like that. Like,
well.
Oh, imagine.
So, I mean, we know it's probably going to be quarterback 2, quarterback 3 with the Commanders and the Patriots, but who do you think the Commanders take? Do they take Daniels or do they take May?
I think they're going to take May. I personally do. I think it feels like that's the guy that they've probably been looking at a little bit more, and I just have a feeling they're going to go with Drake May, but it would shock me if they took – I think they're going to go with Drake May, personally. What do you think, Carl?
I think I would agree with Drake May. I feel like, because with Drake May, I feel like you know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
You have the low bottom floor. I think you're all right with that. I think you're okay with the strong arm strength.
Yes. Like when it comes to the role, because, you know, the Commanders aren't competing this year. You're not going to compete realistically.
The only thing I would think is they just got rid of Sam Howell. You bring in another North Carolina quarterback. You know, I wonder if they might be a little bit worried. Okay, we had a North Carolina quarterback before with Sam Howell, albeit not quite as highly touted by the time he left college as Drake May was. But I do wonder if that's something where Washington gets a little bit scared, a little bit spooked of drafting back-to-back North Carolina quarterbacks after seeing what happened with Sam Howell, and they decide to go with Daniels. I could see that happening.
It's kind of like, again, do you want the guy? I feel like Daniels definitely has the higher ceiling for sure.
Absolutely.
And I think that could be something where it's like, it's almost like the AR-15 pick with the Colts and being able to have that as well. But
I would say
to a degree.
The difference is Big Tony, Anthony Richardson. I mean, he was a lot younger and he had a lot more talent than Daniels has. Daniels is a little bit older and sometimes seasoned. Is all right, but I
sometimes also being a little bit more.
He has to go to a good spot.
Honestly,
he doesn't use the middle of the field.
Yeah,
when
you can't, especially if you're going to be a Patriots, which the Patriots they have a whole
yeah, the
lot
Patriots
of
are going to take
that'd
him.
That'd be a terrible.
That'd be a terrible spot for him. I don't know if Washington would be much better, but
it'd be better than New England. I'll say that, especially with the at least some guys you can at least try to attack outside the numbers a little bit more on that offense that they have.
I will say this: could the Patriots take Bo Nix? I feel like that would fit their system a lot better than Jaden Daniels. Could they take Bo Nix?
It'd be a reach. It's like you have to have a good read on what quarterback needy team, who you have to really take a gamble there too. So you can either take your guy right away, or if you're feeling gutsy, you move down and you might be able to still get him, which is wild. But it's like
I don't know.
But it's another. I think if you look at the big picture, I know you obviously in the NFL, it's all goals are to compete now, and you can do one-year turnarounds quickly. Look at the Houston Texans, by the way, just by picking the right quarterback and having the right system there.
You know, Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy, although I'm still not sure why McCarthy keeps going up on the board
either,
with that.
But it's like I would not be surprised if that happened. It's like it's tough, but I think, if it's, let's say Drake May, if he's not available – I could see New England either trading down and seeing what type of assets they can get for the number three pick and be able to still probably get Bo Nix ultimately, depending on where they move.
I feel like if
Herbert's on, I still think that would be my one bold thing that I feel like there's a slight chance of happening is Herbert wanting to be away from a Greg Roman offense or something like that. It's not a great, he lost all of his wide receivers. If that trade, that's something that I would not be, like, that'd be something where I think could potentially have. It's not a high chance. I think it's probably, like no more than a 5% chance. But there's an outside shot that Herbert gets traded tonight, I think.
I'm going to say, for the sake of this draft, I'm going to say J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. I really think there's a decent chance because I don't see Jane Daniels is not the archetype of a Patriots quarterback, and I get it's a new regime.
It's a new quarterback.
I think a new coach, but I think they see what happened with Cam Newton, where he was solid, but he was running out of gas at that point. But I still feel like they're going to want a little bit more of a pocket passer. I think they're going to want more of a stereotypical archetype quarterback, and J.J. McCarthy fits the bill.
It's tough to read that. I can see that, but I think with this being a new regime, I could see the Patriots maybe turning the page and trying to get something a little more dynamic as well with their quarterback, especially with the way that their offense is and the way that their skill talent, they don't really have a lot of skill talent right now. You need somebody that can be dynamic, especially if you want to win right now, to at least give you multiple threats, because right now you got Ramondre Stevenson, and then your receiving core isn't very good. You're just not very good. And your defense and your O-line are always pretty consistently good. We don't know how much of that was Coach Belichick also just raising the level of those position groups. But I feel like if you're the Patriots, if you're starting a new era, this is a new regime, first year and forever without Brady or Belichick in the building for New England, is the time to turn the page. You're rebuilding a new team. I think it's a good chance to let the bygones be bygones of the past and start, hey, let's use a dynamic quarterback. Let's see what he got, especially when you don't have a lot of offense. Having somebody that's a little more dynamic, I think, might be a little bit better in that case. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. I still wouldn't bet it out of the possibility of the Chargers and Patriots making a trade or somebody making a trade.
That could happen, too.
Yeah, or somebody else kind of skyrocketing in if they aren't feeling very confident or they have a chance to get their guy. But we'll continue on.
I think that the only thing certain in this draft after Caleb Williams is that if the Cardinals do not trade down, Marvin Harrison Jr. will be in red still. I think that's a good spot for him.
I think
if they can get the capital, they can get the capital depending on what people are offering. I could see the Giants trading up. I could see maybe the Titans or the Jets, even the Vikings. The Vikings, actually, I could see the Vikings trading up.
Yeah.
I think that would be a perfect spot for them to trade up there.
That's been predicted, actually, because it's
a
like,
lot of them has been predicted, and they've had a lot of them taking J.J. McCarthy, of course, with mine, the way I'm throwing this together. I put him to the Patriots, but I think, I mean, we're not going to bother with the trade because, that's
you
a bit
can't
much.
Predict that stuff.
That's a bit much,
like,
but I would say that I would imagine that the Cardinals do probably take Marvin Harrison Jr. if they stay there.
And yep, I think so. And I think they're going to stay there. I think they're going to take him. That's their guy. You got him out of the box. You got a great receiver for Kyler Murray. I think that'd be a slam dunk.
I think that's worth more because, there's still some other good wide receivers in this class that you might be able to get at 11.
Polish.
But it's not Marvin Harrison Jr.
He's close to a sure thing as you're going to get from a wide receiver.
Exactly.
Prospect.
I can't think of another one that's been as good as what Marv has. So.
And the fact that you're picking fourth and you're still going to have a chance. Because there are drafts, depending on what he probably could have went number one or number two, depending on what type of draft it is. And there's an argument he's the best overall player, or at least second overall player, just behind Caleb Williams in the draft. So I think that's a slam dunk for the Cardinals. Here's where I think it gets super interesting.
This is where it gets super interesting because the Chargers, they could take a quarterback.
Greg Roman offense.
They could take a wide receiver. They could take a tight end. I feel
there's I would not be surprised because
they don't have any wide receivers.
They don't have wide receivers.
They don't have any wide receivers.
And they're not going to attract any free agents. I promise you
if
that.
If Malik Nabers I think if Malik Nabers is on the board, they might have to take him. I know Brock Bowers is there, but you need a legitimate wide receiver. Like, it doesn't matter how good your tight end is.
You think
I take that
but there's
back.
There's so many years in the Ravens' Greg Roman scheme where they just, you'd run without wide receivers quite a bit. They
That's
had guys
true.
That they drafted.
And they had Mark Andrews. They had
They had Likely, of course, in his last season there.
Yeah.
And then even before that, we had all types of great depth at tight end. Obviously, Dennis Pitta was there when he came back from his injury that he had for a long time, and you always had two tight end, three tight end sets. You always needed a fullback, and I just feel like this would philosophically work really well for them. Or offensive line, so like a guy like a J.C. Latham from Alabama,
Joe Alt.
That's another good option that you could have as well too. So it's like you could take one of those slam dunk offensive line because it's like if you're gonna go and you're gonna commit to the power run scheme, you might as well shore up that offensive line or shore up the and you have a great. Foundation already for it, and you got your running backs in, you got your tight ends, so they could definitely do that. And I think if you're going to change this scheme, I think a tight end friendly offense, I think if Bowers were to go, that would be the best fit for Bowers, honestly. A Greg Roman scheme, he's going to go for 1,300
and
or 1,400
I
yards in that
think,
scheme.
The more I think about it, the more I think they're going to get him. I think they're going to take
Bowers,
Brock Bowers here. Even though
Bowers
I've seen him everywhere. I've seen him at 5. I've seen him at 20th.
Yeah.
I've seen him at 18th.
If you're a Chargers, you got something to help, give Herbert some faith here, too, as well. Especially after losing, you lost Keenan Allen, you lost Mike Williams, you lost Gerald Everett, your starting tight end, as well, too. The reason they probably let somebody go like that would be probably you're going to replace them in this draft. You could always go second or third round with tight ends, but it's like this
when
is
you have,
probably
when you
the
have
best.
A thing like Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is
it's going to be
very,
Mark
very
Andrews
good.
X2. That's what it's going to be, and that's something that gets your quarterback happy. This is something where if you're not going to trade Herbert and he needs to showcase, hey, we're invested in you. We want to give you some pass catchers. Here's the best tight end prospect that we've seen in years that's right there for the taking. I think it wouldn't be a bad pick by the Chargers at all.
I think they take him. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with we're going to talk about team needs and looking at the team needs for all these different teams, looking at my team, the Colts, and all the AFC North teams. When we come back here on The Sports Fan, presented by J&K Contracting.
Stay informed about the stock market from Goldsberry Wealth Strategies. Weekdays at 5:30 on 970 and 97.1 FM, WATH. The report follows the news. Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Goldsberry Wealth Strategies is not a broker dealer and is independent of RJFS.
As a member of the Ohio Health family, you have easy access to quality health care at Oblenis Hospital, where we offer care from providers you know and trust. Plus, you can rest assured knowing there's an entire network of experts and specialists ready to support you if you need them. Ohio Health Oblenis Hospital, the best choice. Learn more about us at ohiohealth.com/Oblenis.
Who are the people that serve part-time in the Ohio Army National Guard? We are your neighbors and friends. We are your sons and daughters. Our service is providing us valuable job skills, and it pays up to 100% of our tuition. We're proud to serve our state. We are your Ohio Army National Guard. Learn more about part-time service with the Ohio Army National Guard at nationalguard.com/OH.
Sponsored by the Ohio Army National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
This April, Mark Porter Ford is selling all remaining 2023 new Fords. Here is your chance to save big. 1.9% for 72 months and up to $8,000 off 2023 Ford F-150 pickups. 0% for 72 months on 23 Ford Escapes and save up to $5,000 off. Shop 24 hours at markporterford.com. Save up to $6,000 on the big boy 23 Ford Broncos. We have the all-new 2024 Mustang in stock, plus just arriving 24 Ford Ranger. Yes, they are finally here, and 2024 Mavericks in stock for delivery today. The demand for pre-owned vehicles is still at an all-time high. Trade yours or sell us yours. 2024 Ford Escapes 4.9% for 72 months and $2,000 off. 2024 Ford Edge 2.9% for 72 months and up to $3,000 off. Need a Super Duty? Ford has them in stock. Located at Route 32 and Mayhew Road in Jackson, Ohio, see why all car dreams come true at Mark Porter. Sale ends April 30th.
From concrete to roofing to siding and windows, J&K Contracting has you covered from the ground up. Whether it's a room addition, a complete home build, or your commercial projects, let the professionals at J&K be of service from groundbreaking to completion. And don't forget, they accept all major credit cards. They even have free seamless gutters with every complete roof installation. Don't hesitate to call J&K Contracting at 740-698-3521 for a free estimate.
This is a sports fan here on 970 WATH, and still it is draft day. Draft's in about an hour from now. First pick's going to be in an hour and a half, let's be real here. But going through our mock draft right now and looking at Jaden Daniels went 6 for the Giants, Malik Nabers to the Titans, several tackles off the board. Really player of the year, in my opinion, Quinion Mitchell goes number 12 from
great
Toledo.
That'd be great for the conference.
Brian Thompson Jr., wide receiver out of LSU, goes to New Orleans at pick 14. Colts have the 15th pick. That's my team. And they need cornerback help. They really need a lot of DB help. And, I mean, Cooper DeJean is still on the board. If Cooper DeJean's still on the board at 15, take him. If Terrion Arnold's still on the board, take him. Brock Bowers, take him. Quinion Mitchell, take him. I'm really happy with whatever pick. I mean, the Colts, there's a lot of people out there, and I think that they'll be able to get one of them. If they get a wide receiver, great. If they're able to get a defensive back, great. I think Cooper DeJean is obviously the best choice. And, yeah, grab him. Yeah. I'll take him.
Why not? He's going to be a great pick. He's going to be, like I said, the special teams dynamic is also going to be huge. That's something that he adds to the game. And then also he's fantastic in coverage. Also played on a really high-level defensive scheme with Iowa, too. So I think it should be a really good pick. Anybody that's going to have him is going to be pretty lucky.
Looking at the Bengals, they have needs, according to at least Pro Football Focus. That's what we're doing this on. They have needs at tight end, tackle, defensive line, and right before the tackle, J.C. Latham goes. And so Latu is still on the board. Jerron Newton. Do they go down and get Talese Faluga? Do they get Terrion Arnold? Oh, Terrion Arnold still on the board. I think they get Terrion Arnold here.
They could, yeah. Or if, like, let's say if they do accept any of the trades, or they want to trade away a guy like
Trey Hendrickson, yeah,
you can get a Jared Verse edge from Florida State. Any of the other edges that are available, like you already mentioned with Latu. It's just like, again, you want to be able to re-replicate the players that you have and be able to replenish any talent that you lost. But then also with this being such a great cornerback draft, if you want to add some extra defensive backs as well, too,
Byron Murphy as well could be a good pickup for them as well.
It is.
I think they will go with Byron Murphy, especially with the Trey Hendrickson news. I think they pick up Byron Murphy.
That's another one. There's a lot of good defensive end prospects, too, so we'll see where they take. I'm always curious about that because I think they're also one of the teams that's likely to make a trade, and they could trade into an even higher pick given the quality
they
of
could.
Players that they have available right now.
They definitely could. Looking at the Steelers, they have pick 20, and they need wide receiver, center, tackle, cornerback. I could see them taking Terrion Arnold, but I think they take Amarius Mims.
Yep, they could also bolster some of their offensive line with a guy like a Graham Barton as well, too. In addition, this also could be where Ayuk from the Niners gets traded.
That is
well.
True.
This is
yes,
probably the
they need a wide
one
receiver
pick or number one area. You lost Deontay Johnson to the Carolina Panthers this year. You of course still have some decent receivers, but you need some extra help, especially for your new quarterbacks and Justin Fields, who really benefited from a guy like DJ Moore last year as well too. So I think having another slam dunk guy and Ayuk would be very complimentary to the Steelers' current receiving core. So that's something to be on the lookout. Maybe the 49ers jumping into that 20th pick with a trade with
Pittsburgh. Yeah, that definitely could happen. Looking at your Ravens, they've got the 30th pick. What do you expect to see out of them? I mean, you guys have needs wide receiver, guard, tackle, edge rusher, cornerback. You know, it could be possibly maybe Kool-Aid McKinstry. He might still be on the board.
Yeah, like a Nate Wiggins.
Troy Kool-Aid Franklin McKinstry, as well.
And then also we could go wide receiver route. There's maybe a slight Ladd chance McConkey. Of it there. Ladd yeah. McConkey would be one of the higher picks. Donnie Mitchell would also be a good pick as well, too. But I'd like to see us go offensive line. We're going to need some help here as we are down. Of course, Ronnie Stanley will be still there, but we lost our other tackle with Morgan Moses. He got traded away as well. So it's like we need some extra offensive line depth. We're going to need some extra guards as well, too. But really, from the spot that the Ravens are at, we're in the 30th pick. You really, and we've always been a best available team. Best available is what we usually operate, especially in the first round. So it's going to depend on what's going to happen in front of us. If the Ravens see that there's a big run on cornerbacks and not as big of a run on receivers, they might take a high first round grade receiver, a guy that would be pretty good, and you take a guy like that. Or, you know what, there hasn't been a lot of offensive line take because there's been a huge run on corners. Instead of taking the guy that's seventh on your chart, instead take a different position where you might not have had a big run. So I think the Ravens are going to be very reactionary to what happens in the picks ahead of them. I think that's really the main thing when you're picking late in the first round like this.
It's going to be interesting. And could you see them trading out maybe?
There is a slight chance, too, of that as well. If somebody, for the right price, if they want to get some extra draft capital, this is a draft with a lot of depth at certain positions. There's a lot of good wide receiver depth in this draft, and I think they definitely need another one with Odell Beckham Jr. departing. They did sign Rashad Bateman to an extension, but they definitely need to make sure that they're adding some more depth if they can be. But, yeah, they could trade down for sure, but I think the Ravens will pick 30th, and they'll get their guy.
It's going to be very interesting draft day. We'll have you tomorrow morning. We'll have all the draft information for you on the sports report through on both stations. And it's going to be interesting. I'm definitely this is one of the bigger drafts. I mean, we had it last year where you kind of had an idea of what was going to happen at the top. And it might happen a little bit differently than what you thought with obviously Houston trading up and then Levis falling, because after the fifth pick, everything, the bottom fell out. And I think we're going to see that again this year where the bottom's going to fall out and we're just going to have absolutely no idea what's going to end up happening towards the end of this draft. It's going to be really, really fun tonight. Well, glad we could get a sports van in. First time we've had one in a minute. At least where it wasn't a rain out for one of the baseball games. But we'll have baseball again tomorrow. It's Athens against Jackson. Really, really big game. Two undefeated teams in conference. That's going to be a fun one. And I'll have it for you right here on WATH. Coverage will start around 4:50. And sure to have fun. But until then, keep it locked right here on 970 WATH.